Hope you guys are having an awesome Sunday service so far. One quick announcement that I forgot is that we, after service, will be having a youth and family Devo that'll be in here at 12:45 for our teens, preteens, young teens, and our parents. So that's going to be an awesome time. What? but yeah, again, good morning. It's been a great service, and for me, it's a very special service. If you did not know, my family's in town from all the way from California, and so sitting right there, my mom and my cousin, and my amazing girlfriend is here as well, from not as far away in Westchester, all the way from Westchester. You know, if you're visiting with us today, our theme for the year is led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, and that's what we've been talking about on Sundays. And for the first few months, we have been taking a look at how to be led by the Spirit and talking about how to stay connected with Christ. How to be connected with Christ. And so please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. That's where we're going to be today, in Luke chapter 17. And as you're turning, you know, life gets busy and life gets chaotic pretty often, doesn't it? I cannot believe we're already in the month of March. It has flown by. And if we blink, we're going to be at the start of the summer. And the year is just going to go by. And you know, because life gets so busy and life gets so chaotic, if we're not careful, it's really easy to get disconnected from Jesus. It's easy to start following ourselves, our busy schedules, and whatever we have going on in our life, and not the Spirit. And that's why we have to kind of continue to remind ourselves to stay focused on what's important and stay focused on what we need to, which is God. And so this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about being focused, not so much on whether we need to be focused or not, because I think we all agree we need to be focused, but on what we should be focused on and what we perhaps shouldn't be. So let's read here in Luke chapter 17. It's a very interesting story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. So Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, it reads, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" In the story, there are 10 lepers who are miraculously healed by Jesus. But for whatever reason, after all 10 are cleansed, only one comes back to thank him. And it's clear from this story that the man we want to be like is the one man who came back, right? That's what we want to do. But my question is, what separates him from the other 9? What makes them different from this one man? And I think it all comes down to focus, what they were focused on. And so let's break down these two different focuses that these two groups had and see what it is that we can learn. You know, starting with the 9 men that didn't return, right? What were they focused on? I think to get an answer to that, I think it's helpful to talk about the background of what was happening a little bit, right? These 10 men are lepers. And lepers, especially back in the first century Jewish culture, carried a lot of weight in a very bad way. Because lepers were often looked on as unclean, right? As people to be avoided. So much so that lepers often had to live in secluded villages away from the rest of the people, right? They were kind of kicked out to live on their own or in a separate village. And they were away from their family, they were away from their friends, and if they were going to enter into any normal town, quote-unquote normal, they would have to wear these bells all over them so that people could hear that they're coming and just avoid them, right? So these men, for as long as they can remember, lived being isolated, being pariahs, and they really didn't have much human interaction, right? And they often lived for years feeling emotionally scarred and unloved. Then these men hear that Jesus is coming. And they go, it seems like with a lot of faith, and they yell at the top of their voice, "Jesus, have mercy on us," right? "Jesus, heal us." And they're miraculously healed. But what happens after is that they're so amazed, right, that they can have a new life. They're so excited about what has just happened to them that after they go and show themselves to the priest, they kind of go on their way to meet up with their family, meet up with their friends, the people that they have been isolated from all this time, right? And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense that would be what's first on their mind, right? They have been living isolated, now they don't have to. And so, of course, with a lot of excitement, they would go to their family, they would go to their friends, they would go to their loved ones. And that all seems natural. And for them to rejoice and be happy all seems natural. But the problem here is that in the midst of all the celebrating, in the midst of all the joyfulness, in the midst of the miracle, the man who made the miracle happen is pushed to the side in favor of the miracle itself. See, the problem is that these nine men are focused on the what. They're focused on what happened and not the man who made it happen. That's why they never come back to thank Jesus. That's secondary. The most important thing is that they're healed. It's not like it's wrong to be happy about miracles. It's not like it's wrong to be happy when God does something great in our lives. But they get so wrapped up that it becomes all about that. And it becomes all about their life. You know, I'm sure these other nine men believed in Jesus. I mean, they must have to go to him and ask him to be healed. And I'm sure that through this exchange, they had their faith in God boosted. But the fact is that when they go back to their towns, their families, and their friends to talk about what happened, and all the things that Jesus did, all the amazing things, when they tell this story, when they look back on this moment, what they'll care about isn't Jesus, but what happened to them. The focus of their story would be what happened and not Jesus. Their faith was dependent on what Jesus did and not who he was. You know, I remember a few years back, I was just kind of really struggling with my faith. And I was struggling as a disciple. But the funny thing was, less than a year back, I was doing great. I was happy. I felt like I had a lot of faith. I believed in God. I had great friends. And things were going really well. But then I kind of transitioned to a new stage in life. And I was in college. I thought I knew what I wanted to study in college and what I wanted to be. And God ended up closing a lot of doors, which I wasn't very happy about, right? And I needed to make some transitions. I had trouble being in a new church with new people, building relationships. I felt like I didn't really have anyone that I could rely on and count on. And I just things weren't going well. And I was struggling in my faith. And I remember I was talking to somebody, the guy who was discipling me, and he just kind of challenged me to read my Bible, to get into my Bible and just start reading. And a funny thing happened, which is as I just started reading the Bible, I started in Genesis, and I just started kind of reading through. And it turns out I did not know nearly as much about God as I thought I did. And what ended up happening was I ended up sitting down, back down with the guy who was discipling me, and I ended up literally for hours just asking him questions. All sorts of questions that I had from the Bible about God, about different events that happened, about the Bible itself. And I just had so many questions, which was funny because I had grown up in the church all my life. And I thought I knew the Bible very well. And I thought when I became a disciple, I knew God, I had a relationship with God. But it turns out that for the first several years of my discipleship, what I was focused on was what God was doing and not God himself. And that's why when things started to not go as well, I started struggling. Because what God was doing wasn't matching up to my expectations. My faith was all based on the what and not God. But that time ended up being such a crucial time to build my faith, to build my faith in God, and to take leaps in my discipleship. And so my question to you this morning is what are we focused on this morning? Are we focused on the what, just like these men? You know, gaining faith and getting our faith from miracles and amazing things that God does in our lives, it seems like a good idea at first. But it's not, because if we think about where we're headed in the right direction, the answer is no. You know, it's not wrong to want God to ask and do things in your life. But the question is, how do you respond when those things happen? Right? When God makes them happen, are we just kind of quick to forget about them or forget about God and just be happy with what happened? Right? Are we just excited to just have the things happen and we forget that God is the one that made it happen? Or better question is, how do you respond when the answer is a no? Right? We pray about something and it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that God didn't answer your prayers. It just means that the answer was a no. But in those moments, how do you respond? Do we kind of start giving less and less to people? Do we start giving less and less to the church, to the people that are around you, to our Bible talks? Does our faith start to waver? Do we start praying less and less boldly, less and less frequently? And we just start being less and less invested in our discipleship because the things that we prayed for didn't happen. The problem with just being focused on what God does is that as soon as the next problem comes and God isn't there to fix it, our faith will die. And it's not true, genuine faith. When things don't go the way we wanted to, our faith in Jesus is lost. You know, I've heard often people tell me that they don't believe in God because something happened in their life, something bad. Or they pray for something earnestly and it didn't come true. Or they might say, well, I'm not sure about God. I'm just kind of waiting for him to do something amazing before I commit my life so that he shows me. But if that's how we act and if that's how we live, then really our faith is just based on what he's going to do next. As soon as what God does isn't what we want, even though what God does might be better for us, our faith will die. It's not wrong to struggle with God when the answer is a no, but is your faith entirely dependent? You know, there's an interesting story in John. In the book of John, in chapter 6, we all know of the story of how Jesus feeds the 5,000 people, right? He feeds with just a few loaves and two fish. And what's interesting is Jesus feeds these 5,000 people, and then in the middle of the night, he crosses over to the other side of the lake that they were at. And all these people, to kind of paraphrase, they wake up and they realize Jesus isn't there. All the people that he fed. And they start to realize, oh, I'm getting a little hungry. And then they realize, oh, Jesus went over to the other side. Let's go over to the other side. And when they get to Jesus, they ask him, They ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And in verse 26, Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man gives you, for on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval. These men were just after one miracle after the other, for just bread and for some food. But are we just like these men that go back to God only when we get hungry? See, if God came to you today and he told you that from now on your life will not go the way that you want it to, for the rest of your life, nothing's going to go the way you want it to, God's going to do no more miracles in your life, will you still follow God for who he is? Will you still follow God for who he is? If we just depended on the miracles to increase our faith and live as disciples, we will never be fully invested. We will never have a true relationship with God, and our faith will be a roller coaster depending on how our life is going. It's not a bad thing to remember the great things that God has done and to build our faith from them. I mean, even in the Bible, it talks about how remember the things that God has done. But when they become the basis of our faith, that is when we hurt ourselves. We can't be focused on just the what. And so instead of being focused on simply the what, instead of focusing on the miracles that God might do, we have to be like the one man that returned to see Jesus. See, because after all 10 of them were healed, while the other 9 are overjoyed at what had happened to them, there was one man who was overjoyed at the one who made it happen. And he runs back to Jesus and he throws himself at Jesus' feet. See, this man wasn't focused on the what, he was focused on the who. He was focused on the who. See, for him, the concern wasn't that he was cleansed of his leprosy. His concern was that he wanted to get to know the incredible man that made it happen. Right? His concern was that there was a man who had the power to do the impossible and who had the compassion and the grace to make it happen. I mean, he was happy about what had happened to him. He was happy and excited that he no longer had to be isolated, to be marginalized, and to be forgotten about. He could go back to his family. He could go back to his friends and all the things that all the other 9 felt. But to this man, all that was secondary. His happiness and his joy was secondary to the great gratefulness that he felt towards Jesus. The miracle that had happened to him was secondary to actually going back and getting to know Jesus. See, because unlike the other 9, when this man tells the story of what had happened to him and the amazing miracle that happened, what this man will talk about is not how he was cleansed of his leprosy, but how he met a man who changed his life forever. These 9 guys had an interaction with Jesus, but this man formed a relationship. And that's what we need to strive towards. And now his faith isn't dependent on just miracles that God does. If things don't go the way that he wants to for the rest of his life, he's going to be fine because he can go back to the relationship that he formed and the fact that he knows Jesus personally. That's what differentiates this man from the other 9. You know, if you don't know by now, and I'm sure you do, I'm a big basketball fan. I'm a huge basketball fan. And in basketball, there's this man by the name of LeBron James. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's just kind of some basketball player, you know. There's this man by the name of LeBron James who's a very good basketball player, for those of you that don't know. Some would say he's the best. Some would say maybe not. That's not what we're talking about today. But there's a man by the name of LeBron James, and the things that he has done is pretty incredible, which is that for the past 8 years, he has made it to the NBA Finals. He hasn't won all of them, but he's made it every single year. And it has gotten to the point that this past summer, he just recently switched teams. He went from the Cleveland Cavaliers to the Los Angeles Lakers. And his team at the start of the season didn't look that great. On paper, they did not look like a very good team, but all the analysts and all the sports people were saying that there's no way that the Lakers are going to miss the playoffs. There's no way. And some were even saying, I think they're going to make the NBA Finals. Not because of anything that they had done up to that point, but simply because he was LeBron James, right? And even in the past seasons, no matter how bad his teams were doing, everyone would say, well, I'm not going to assume that he's not going to make the NBA Finals because he's LeBron James, right? And there was a moment this like 2 weeks ago, so their season has not gone great, and there was a they came to a point where a lot of the statistics firms gave Los Angeles Lakers 1% chance to make the playoffs, a 1% chance. But everyone was still saying, well, I can't bet against LeBron James because he's LeBron. I think they'll still make the playoffs, right? It's amazing that, I mean, their faith is entirely dependent on who this man is and not how he does or how his team does. Does that make sense? It's just entirely dependent on him and who he is as a basketball player. But the question is our faith to that degree, right? Is our faith so blind that we would say, well, because he's God, I'm still going to believe him. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what the statistics say. But because he's God and I know that he's God and I know what kind of a God he is, I will choose to believe him. You know, how well do you know God? How well do you know God? Right? For us to be focused on the who, we need to have a relationship and we need to know who he is. Right? You're not going to have faith in just some random guy walking down the street that you don't know. How well do you know God? You know, being focused on the what instead of the who, what it really comes down to is it really is us just being wrapped up in ourselves rather than God. The great things that happen to us and our lives overshadow God himself and the gratitude that we should be feeling. You know, if you're here, if you're visiting with us, I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know where you are, but reach out to the people that brought you out here and study the Bible with them. Look at it and just get to know God. It's not about the great things he does. It's not about the benefits that come of worshiping God, but it's about getting to know God himself. That's what's going to help you. You know, one of my favorite, or actually my favorite, absolute favorite person in the entire Bible is found in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 5. See, it says in Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Enoch was born right in between the time of Adam and Noah. That's when Enoch was born. He was born before the Bible. He was born before any of these stories. He was born in a time when no one else wanted to follow God. If we look at how bad things had gotten by the time of Noah, which is that God felt remorse for even creating mankind because men were so sinful, right? And Noah was the only righteous person around. That's the time period that Enoch was born in. There were no miracles, there were no stories, but Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Not because of anything God had done, but because of who God was. Enoch had a relationship with God. And that's the type of faith that pleases God. In Hebrews 11, it's an incredible passage. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, Enoch had such an amazingly close relationship with God, a relationship that so pleased God that God literally said, I cannot wait for you to die. You need to come to me right now. And God took Enoch and brought him to his side. That's the relationship that Enoch has with God. Is that the relationship that we have with him? Is that the relationship that we strive to have with him? Do we really go after excitedly reading our Bibles every day, getting to learn new and newer things about God, striving to live according to his word, being devoted to the body, being devoted to prayer? Do we devote ourselves to who God is and not just what he does? Do you really, really know God? Not just what he's done, but his characteristics, what he's like, how he describes himself. Or is all we know just the stories that we know about him? That's how I was. I was growing up in the church, and I had heard all the stories that there is to hear about God, all the stories in the Bible. And that's where you might be if you're you know, in the teen ministry and you just grown up in the church. What you know is the stories. But as I read my Bible, as I was struggling as a disciple, I realized I don't know God. I know about God, but I don't know God. Me personally, I didn't know him until I tried to get to know him. And so, you know, as we strive this morning to be led by the Spirit, as we strive this morning to be connected or to be led by the Spirit and be connected to Christ, I think if we decide that we're going to be focused on the who and not the what, being focused on getting to know God and not what he's going to do, I think we are going to be led by the Spirit in 2019, or the 3/4 of it that we have left. We will be connected to Christ this year. But again, the answer to that depends largely on what we choose to focus on. Will we form a deep relationship? Or will it be a shallow one that just focuses on what he does? If we choose to stay focused on the who, get to know Jesus deeper than we ever have in our lives, and make it the very foundation of our spiritual walk, not other people, not our Bible talks, not the miracles, but who God is, then no matter what challenges and storms that life will bring, we will be able to see through them all. And we will not only be able to see through them, but at the end of 2019, we will look back and we will realize that we have thrived through it all. So let's choose today, this morning, to stay focused on the who. Amen.